So each evening I'll offer maybe a 20-minute talk, 30-minute talk about some aspect of meditation, some of the philosophy, and some of the techniques. And tonight I want to talk about the three main aspects of learning to meditate, kind of the three core things that I hope that we learn and develop in this class. The first one is the steady attention, is having that quality of attention that rests and is not wavering. The second one is non-resistance. This is our very relationship to how the moment is unfolding. And finally, the third one is learning to see through thoughts, through our ideas and concepts. And all these we touch upon in the meditation and also some of them in the questions and answers. So let's go through each of these in turn. So the first one, the steady attention. This is starting, we often start with one particular object of our attention, of awareness, something that we can learn to steady our attention on. And it doesn't really matter what that might be. You know, it could be sound, might be very helpful. It could be something like the breath or the body. We're looking for something that brings an initial quality of calm and of ease, of steadiness, that starts to allow our attention to start to settle, to become more and more sustained. And this is an initial training that we work with, a learning to have that steadiness. Because you've probably noticed this week, if you practiced most days, how distracted the mind can be, how the mind goes to this thought or to that thought, the past, the present, the future. It's all over the place. And learning to have that steadiness of attention is a fundamental skill that we learn as meditators. And it's also one of the more difficult ones. So please have patience with yourself as you come back again and again. That simple act of coming back to the breath, coming back to the sound, that builds that steadiness of attention. It kind of starts to build this muscle of mindfulness. And so learning this quality of steadiness is a fundamental. And we started off with sound and with the body and the breath. But as the weeks go by, we're open to more and different aspects of being human. We're open to the experience of emotions as felt in the body, even the sense of thought, maybe the quality of being pleasant or unpleasant. But we often need to start first with something simple to ground, to know, am I connected with the breath or am I distracted? So steadiness is this first task that we learn, this first quality. And it does take a lot of patience because you find yourself being distracted again and again. One way we often describe it is having an anchor for our attention. Just how a boat has an anchor to bring it back so it doesn't drift too far away. Now, steadiness of attention is often where our effort, our perseverance has to come in. But it's helpful to also notice how much effort you're applying. So if you're really like sweating and you're like gripped really hard just to stay on the breath, that's too much effort. You know, this practice should have more and more ease to it, less and less effort. So learning to find that balance. I remember the first, you know, months of me learning to meditate over 25, 26 years ago. I often would feel like I would just have to constantly bring back my attention again and again to my body, to my breath. And it took a lot of patience and perseverance. And it often felt like it was, you know, not working so well. But as one person shared, after the meditation, I would notice there's something shifting in the way I was relating to myself and relating to the world. As you apply that steadiness, you will have the hindrances arise, like sleepiness, restlessness, can be doubt arising. You can find your mind going into wanting and not wanting. And this is what we'll explore more, how to work with this. And one final thing I want to talk about with steadiness of attention is that sometimes we pick an object like our breath, for example, or even our body sensations, and we start to turn our attention to it, and we notice that we start to become a little more amped up, like our maybe our heart rate starts to change, or there's a sense of anxiety that comes from that, maybe even, you know, particular worries. And what can happen with this is that sometimes we store levels of unresolved trauma, levels of unresolved stuff in our bodies. And the attention starts to actually, turning our attention to the body, starts to let that open up. And we have to find a way to let open in a very gentle and manageable way. So if you find that happening in the meditation, it's, you have my full permission to shift your attention to something else. So let's say I'm focusing on my breath and I start to find myself becoming anxious. I might switch intentionally to sound, or even open my eyes for a moment just to reorient where I am in this time, this present time, this present place. And the good news is that meditation can actually help us to start to unpack that and resolve some of those deeper held processes of unresolved things that may have happened in our past. But it needs to be done in a careful and in a gentle way. So steadiness of attention. This is the first task, the first thing we learn. One of these three ones. The second one is this non-resistance. Because if we can have a steady attention, but in the middle of that attention be really tight, really judgmental. You know, really, I want this to be a certain way, or why am I thinking it? Why am I having this sleepiness? Why am I having this thought? So our steadiness of attention has to really be tempered and transformed by a kindness, a certain warmth of heart, a certain non-resistance is often how I like to talk about it. And this is pointing to our very relationship to this moment's experience, what's actually here. So you can see steadiness allows us to pay attention, to be present. The non-resistance allows what we're paying attention to actually be itself, to actually be what it actually is. And in that way, it's the optimum way for us to learn, to actually be transformed by that very observation. Now, resistance has a wide range of just fighting against experience, tightening, even to the subtle level of just having an opinion about something, thinking something is good or bad is a form of resistance. And so often we observe not with this true innocent curiosity, but with an agenda. We look and we're already evaluating. We're already making an assumption or making a judgment call or creating opinion. We see with an agenda. We see what we like. And if we like it, then we start to move toward it with our attention. We start to focus on it. If we dislike it, if there's that judgment of that something's wrong or bad about it, then already we're starting to relate to it in a different way. We want to get rid of it. We want to move away from it. And if it's neutral, if it doesn't have pleasant or unpleasant qualities, we tend to just not notice it. We tend to check out around it. So resistance and non-resistance is really a question of how am I meeting this very moment? Right? So it's a wonderful practice when you're sitting and you start to feel a quality of unease in the body. I'm not talking about that, what I talked about before, when you start to feel your heart rate change, right, really anxiety arise, but more just the run-of-the-mill, my body doesn't feel comfortable, my mind isn't comfortable about something. How do I relate to that moment? Do I try to change it, try to fix it, or do I kind of just allow a way for it to be just how it is? And this is what I mean by this non-resistance. While resistance is this quality of struggle with the disallowing of this experience. Now, my first instructions that I really learned when I was beginning to meditate, you know, again, back in 96, I think it was, 1996, was the simple formula the teacher shared. And that was that resistance times experience equals suffering. Okay, so resistance times experience equals suffering. So he was saying that, okay, whatever experience you might be having, pleasant, unpleasant, the more you resist it, the more you're struggling with it, again, in all its forms, the more suffering you'll feel. the more experience of suffering will be there. And this really struck with me because I was in the middle of a painful breakup of a committed relationship. And you know, when those relationships end, there's a sense of kind of the ground underneath your feet starting to shift. Things you thought were always going to be there weren't. So of course, there's a lot of emotionality, a lot of sorrow, a lot of grieving that's going on. And when I heard this teaching, it really kind of got me interested. It's like, well, maybe part of this suffering that I'm feeling right now, this very painful condition, some of that suffering maybe is not necessary. Maybe some of it is the resistance I had toward that experience. And so I practiced with that. That became a theme of my early, you know, 5-10 years of practice, is really looking at non-resistance. How can I meet this moment without resistance? And the more and more nuanced and subtle ways of resistance. Seeing that, observing it, and seeing if I can soften that. And noticing how that transformed my very relationship to experience. And so I thought I kind of got a good handle on this. And then one day I was on a retreat, and I had a kidney stone. I didn't know it was a kidney stone at first. I thought it was just like a really bad gas bubble. And so I was trying to practice with it, like a good meditator, feeling the sensations, having non-resistance toward it. And, you know, it was very painful. So it wasn't like I was sitting in the meditation hall still like the Buddha. I was in my room kind of writhing in pain, trying to find some comfortable position. But still, all the time I was trying to work with it in that way. And then finally, I went into the ER and got some drugs, and I felt much better. And so there was that relief of that pain. And so I thought, okay, that was a very interesting experience. And then a few months later, so I thought the kidney stone resolved itself. And then a few months later, it actually turned out that kidney stone just got stuck and stopped moving. And it just started to move again. And as soon as it moved, that pain came back. You know, the intensity, you know, all that. But added to that was all the fear, all the memory of that past experience. How much it cost out of pocket to go to the ER and get the CAT scan, and just the intensity of the pain and all the unknowns. And I saw right there the power of the suffering of the pain, physical body, and how much you can amplify that, how much you can add to it through the mental. So this was a life teaching me, what does it really mean to add resistance to this moment? What is added to it? So we practice that. We learn to practice this non-resistance. You know, practicing it in gentle, easy ways, I think, is very helpful. You know, hearing a sound and just letting the sound be heard as directly and fully as you can. You know, hearing a sense, feeling a sensation, feeling the breath. How much I can allow that to simply be felt. This requires us to soften, to have that sense of ease, letting go of tension. And that's why there needs to be a certain level of safety, a certain level of feeling like, okay, I'm comfortable enough right now to meet this moment. Some other techniques for non-resistance are the broadening, expanding. What sound teaches us, that listening to the whole environment allows us to also listen internally with that same expansiveness. That may not make sense, but hopefully it will as it goes along, that same expansive receptive quality that we listen to sound can be identical to how we listen or sense our breath. We sense the sensations moving through our body. So resistance has an emotional quality, a physical, mental. And so the emotional and physical, the resistance is often tied up in the thoughts that we think, the storyline that we weave around this, the meaning that we add to it, right? So what we add to the moment, that's really what where the resistance lies. So learning to actually meet and reorient to the direct actual experience is so essential. It's so important. It's one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself, both to navigate the difficult times that life holds for you, but to also allow you to fully live life, to feel the impact of its beauty, its wonder, It's mystery. And we learn this simply by what's happening right now in this breath, in this sensation. Learning to free this moment from our past, to free it from our expectation of the future, to simply meet it very directly. And again, we'll work with the thoughts and emotions more directly in the coming weeks. And learning to really meet this moment without resistance, it's hard to do from our normal place, our normal mind of evaluation, of judgment, of criticism, of self and other. It just automatically kind of predisposes us. So it's helpful to learn to step back, to start to shift to focusing on observation itself, not so much what is being perceived. Okay, so let me say that again in a little different way. So it doesn't matter what arises in your experience, what arises in your mind or in your heart. As meditators, we're learning to come into what knows that, to rest in what actually perceives this moment. You know, a way I like to talk about this is, for a moment, sense the air in the room where you are right now and how the air just completely meets all parts of your body. It doesn't judge how your body looks or how you're dressed or the color of your skin. It doesn't care about any of that. It simply meets you just how you are. Okay, that quality of the air meeting who you are without judgment, without resistance, it's a teaching. It's a way of teaching us how to have that for ourselves. And when you start to get that, there'd be a level of stress, a level of struggle will fall away. That is very, very significant and very profound when that happens. And you can see how much your own suffering was self-inflicted. So non-resistance. And the third, final one I want to talk about tonight is learning to see through thought, to see through our concepts, our sense of labeling, of opinion, of belief even. Now, beliefs and thoughts can have certainly a very strong thing that we hold dear, and we really, you know, rally against others who hold opposite of ours. But thought can also have this very subtle quality of resistance, of labeling, of idea. It's actually a form of resistance. And so as meditators, seeing through thought is learning to see what is actual experience versus what is our idea of it. What's our interpretation of this moment versus the actual idea of it? What's the actual fact of the moment versus our opinion of that? Right? So we often get so confused about that. And you can see how much suffering happens in the world when we confuse our ideas and opinions for being truth. And we talk about truth, you know, for this moment, meaning just simply what's right here in front of us. The truth of this body breathing, the sensation moving through our bodies, the truth of a sound being heard. Even the mind that labels and identifies that sound, that's adding something to it. So learning to, in the courses of meditators, learning how to connect directly with this moment's experience. You know, the labels, the identification, how has its purpose? You know, it helps us navigate the world to make good choices. And the labeling also creates the prison. Also creates the seeds of all our prejudices, our biases. And so starting to notice as, you know, using this tool of observation, to notice when you confuse your opinion for reality. Like you might, example, this is a little harder with COVID these days, but if you're talking to a friend and they were kind of had a strained, unpleasant look on their face, and you thought, wow, they're really upset with me. They're not happy to see me. And you talk to them later and realize they just had a really upset stomach from something they ate the night before. and we interpret their grimace as self-judgment. Right? So how often do we do this, you know, throughout our days through the people around us? You know, so as meditators, you start to develop this really profound tool to be able to see that directly, to see, to know when I'm thinking about something versus when I'm directly experiencing it. And if you kind of get the sense of that, it actually becomes a little humorous how often we misinterpret the world. This gives us the gift of being able to listen much more deeply, to actually relate to the world instead of relating to our interpretation of the world. We start to live and see life accurately and fully. So these three elements of a steady attention, of non-resistance, and of seeing through thought are kind of the fundamental aspect, things we will learn in this class. And we continue to learn on deeper and deeper levels. I still work with these three things even after over 20 years of practice, because there's more and more subtle ways that resistance shows up. There's more subtle ways that my thought labels the world, labels who I am in relationship to the world. There's more steadiness that can be cultivated in this midst of a distracted world. All right, so that's all I wanted to share tonight. Let's just spend a moment or two in silence and let those words settle.